Phone on. There we go. Are we working now?
Yeah. Maybe.
We had a few technical difficulties this morning. Surprise, surprise. I really was taken with that video. I think Shiloh could do with a tambourine group. You know, some of those ladies just shouting glory the whole time. I think that would be brilliant. It would really spice up the praise. I'm not criticizing the praise now there, John. I'm just saying a group of tambourinists would be brilliant. Let's pray just before we go any further. Lord, we just want to come. We want to praise you. We want to thank you for everything that you do, for being the giver of life. But Lord, we just pray that tonight that you would speak through your word, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see you, to behold you in your truth, in your light, Lord, that we could see you clearly tonight, Lord. Lord, that we could see you as a source of life and not as some other imagination of our mind, but rather, Lord, see you for who you are. So open our eyes and help us tonight. Help me as I share this word. Help me to be clear and concise, and that you would use me by the power of your Spirit. Amen. So why are we here? What's life all about? Is God really real, or is there some doubt? Well, tonight we're going to sort it all out, for tonight it's the meaning of life. Does anybody recognize those words? Anybody familiar with Monty Python? That's taken from one of the songs of Monty Python, the meaning of life. And during his film, those guys took a very humorous, absurd, crude at times look at the meaning of life. Well, I suppose that's really almost the topic that we're on tonight, the meaning of life. Life after death would be the usual title, as I said earlier, but we have decided to make it, is there life before death? Is there life for us as individuals? Is there life for me before death? Is there life for you before death? It's a really good question, a really interesting question, and it's one that's occupied men of mightier minds than any of ours, probably, over the centuries, over the thousands of years, in fact. Some of the earliest writings that we have on record are of people in search of the meaning of life. Then you come to maybe, I'm going to make a few quotations tonight because it's usually Taddy gets to make all the highbrow quotations. You know, quoting the likes of Mr. H. Simpson and his donuts quotation, you know, things like that. I have to live up to that, so I'm going to quote a few similarly. It is another Homer we start with, actually, but this isn't Homer Simpson. This is the 8th century BC philosopher Homer, the guy who wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. Similar intellect, I think. But how he summed up mankind and life, he says it is meaningless. We are all doomed at the end of a miserable life to complete annihilation. There we go. Does that cheer you up? I think I prefer donuts. But that was what Homer made of life. But you go right through the centuries, and coming up closer, you know, into the 16th century, you get a guy, Thomas Hobbes, who said, we're nothing more than an object moving through space. No life to us at all. We're nothing more than a physical object moving through space. Leo Tolstoy, who you will have heard of, he got stuck in a circle. He said, what is life for? To die? To kill myself at once? No, I'm afraid. To wait for death? I fear that even more. Then I must live. But what for? And he started the circle over and over again. Couldn't find a meaning to life. German philosopher Martin Heidegger, he said, life is cast up between nothing and nothing. That's all he could find. Jean-Paul Sartre, the French philosopher of the 20th century, he said, man is a useless passion. Kafka said, life is a conveyor, or the conveyor belt of life carries one somewhere, but one doesn't know where.
And one is a thing, a physical object, not a living creature. And another fellow, Camus, who I had never heard of, he said, life is a bad joke. Bertrand Russell said, it is an accidental collocation of atoms. Weinberg said, it's a more or less farcical outcome of a chain of accidents. You know, is this what life is? Stephen Hawking, who we'll all know, the man in the wheelchair, the physicist, he said, of course, that the meaning of life, well, it's nothing more than physics. How interesting. Surely not. Surely these men, and this isn't some joke. You know, these men are in utter seriousness. These are the men at the top of philosophical profession over the thousands of years. These are the people that humanity regard as the greatest thinkers of all time. And these are the conclusions that they have come to. It is scary. Surely not. Like, I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, remember when you looked out at life when you were a teenager? It was full of possibilities. Life was an endless dream of possibilities. Now, of course, as time goes on, our dreams get a little bit more realistic, and our adventuresomeness, that's a good word, adventuresomeness. There you go, Keith, I can invent words too. Adventuresomeness. It gets a little bit more constrained as time goes on. But surely it is more. There's more to life than physics. There's more to life than being doomed to annihilation after a life of miserableness. Sometimes we do, though. Sometimes we get caught in the trap of looking at life through quite dark lenses. Maybe we find ourselves quoting Solomon out of the Bible, who said that all is vanity. It's a chasing after the wind. Or as I was going to quote Bob Dylan this evening myself, not in his song Save, but that song Blowing in the Wind, where everything was just blowing in the wind. Life was just blowing in the wind. There was nothing to it. Or as Solomon said, it was all vanity. After all, misfortune is pretty arbitrary. You know, look at that. We've heard it twice already, that plane that crashed. You know, whether you were, your name was on that list, you didn't really have much to do with it. There's good people on that plane, there was bad people on that plane, I'm sure. Didn't seem to make a difference. They all just went like that. You only have to look at sickness coming into people's lives. It's not a respecter of whether you're a good person or a bad person. It's not a respecter of whether you're nice or not nice. People who live a long age. It's not just the nice people that live a long age. There's plenty of miserable souls live a long age too. In fact, that seems to be the case, doesn't it? Life. I suppose I had a couple of words to sum it up. One was difficult. Life is difficult. Life, I think we would all agree, is something that for large times just has to be born. Not when you're a kid, not when you're a teenager, but as life goes on. And it's very, very unfair. The injustice in the world is just phenomenal. And you'd only have to speak to any of the families of any of those people on that airplane to hear how they see the injustice in life. And really, it is very unlike life. Life is very unlike life. When you dream about life, it doesn't ever happen the way you dream of it. It never lives up to your dreams and expectations. Well, we got Denise to read from Genesis, and we're not going to, as John was talking, we're not here to debate Genesis tonight. We're here to see that God is a source of life. But Denise was reading a bit about the story of Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden is basically, it is showing us where it all went wrong. It is showing us the crux of the problem of life. And you see, God put in the garden, he put the loving prohibition, the place where man couldn't go. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Denise read of how the serpent deceived Eve. And then Eve passed on to Adam. And they trespassed the prohibition. They ate of the fruit. And then Denise read of the result of that. I'm going to read the two curses, that two of the curses that God gave out to Adam and Eve in the midst of that story that Denise didn't read. And I just want you to hear these, not in so much in context of the specifics of what is being spoken here, but just how they are wonderful analogies of life in general. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Now those are very well known passages, and it's hard for us to see beyond the very specific things that God is saying. But to take them just as simple pictures, you can see how they are simple pictures of the pain and the difficulties of life in general. The suffering of life in general. You see, it was man's rebellion against God that brought the suffering into life. That brought the pains into life, that brought the difficulties into life, that brought life to be a thing that's done by the sweat of your brow and in the face of opposition. Then Denise read at the end how man was banished from the garden in case he would have eaten from the tree of life. And that again was God in his grace and his mercy, saving mankind from that eternal failure. That eternal pitfall, that they were banished from the garden. They were separated from the presence of God. They died that day. Not physically. But they died from God that day. They were separated from the tree of life. They were separated from the source of life. They were separated from God. And that is the source of our problems in this world. That is the reason that this world's greatest thinkers come up with those conclusions about life. Because of sin. Because of death. Because of separation from God. That's what Solomon was getting at. Without God, life is pointless. There is no promised land without God. Your dreams will not be fulfilled. Without God. You see, for us to be separate from God, it's like that phrase, to be a fish out of water. We are not how we were created to be. It's like us being a super sports car and not having any petrol. You know, we've got these wonderful bodies, we've got these wonderful minds, we've got these wonderful dreams and aspirations, and we have no ability to see any of it happen. Life just comes in round us. And the pains and the difficulties. The car never gets moving. That's where our struggles start. The difficulties. Back in the Garden of Eden, that's where our struggles started. That's where the difficulties came in. The pains, the injustice. That's where the curse was issued. So is that it? Can we answer no? There is no life before death. Well, obviously, that wouldn't be a very uplifting sermon. That wouldn't leave us going away here feeling like Bob Dylan did after he met Jesus. The whole rest of the Bible, we read from the first few chapters of the Bible. The whole rest of the Bible is the account of how God rectifies the problem. It's how God reverses the curse. It's how God provides a way for us. He banishes us from the garden for our own good. And the rest of the Bible is how he gets us a way back to the tree of life. To partake once again in his presence. The source of life. To partake of life once again in his presence. And we don't have time to go through the whole rest of the Bible tonight. But that way was his son, Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is there life before death? Yes. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And we don't have time tonight to go into all the whys and wherefores of it, the hows. Maybe in the next few weeks we will cover more of that, of how God brings life before death. But if you've got any questions tonight, please come and ask us. I want to leave you with the alternative. The alternative that if you sat through a 15-minute sermon and you heard it very briefly, you could sit through a two-hour movie called The Meaning of Life, and this is their conclusion. That's the end of the film. Now here's the meaning of life. Well, it's nothing very special. Try and be nice to people. Avoid eating fat. Read a good book every now and then. Get some walking in and try to live together in peace and harmony. Let's pray. Lord, without you, we really cannot come up with much better than that. Lord, life is difficult. Life is full of injustice. Life is full of pains and sufferings, Lord. But Lord, you have come to rectify the situation. Lord, you have sent your son Jesus that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, we don't have to settle for what the best that this world can offer. Rather, Lord, we have a Savior who is out of this world, who brings us hope from out of this world, who brings us an eternal hope, who brings us a living hope, and a hope that is for now. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.